This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 282. It's as if the nerd planet made the jock planet sterile. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a new episode of our weekly podcast. Hope you had a good week, people.
Yo, what's up?
I've had caffeine. That is what's going on.
I've had vitamin water, so I'm like basking nutrients right now.
I know. I need to get more vitamin water.
No, because I keep drinking them.
I know. Seriously. By the way, this is a massive plug for vitamin water. Not because they pay us or anything, but because we actually like vitamin water.
Though they should pay us.
They should pay us. I mean, I would love for them to sponsor us.
Shower us with that vitamin water.
Unfortunately, I don't know how you get plugs other than just talking about the product in an audio podcast. So maybe we'd have
in
to
in my
like,
videos, like I can't be drinking
vitamin water. In your videos.
Who knows? It might be in my double feature part two.
Oh! I mean, we could... You know what? I should probably reach out to them. Maybe that's what I'll do. We need more relationships with
people. We need sponsors.
Yeah, because it's getting really expensive out of my pocket to do this. But you know what? That's okay. Because we actually do love doing this.
Promote us. I'll wear your t-shirts. Ow, what?
I was waiting for you to be like, yeah, I do love doing this. You're still on the promotion thing.
Oh, well, I love
engage.
Promoting and...
Engage, Pandalicious. Engage.
No, I absolutely love doing this. I wouldn't be here doing it if I didn't enjoy it.
True that, true that. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. It's mostly game stuff. Actually, it's a game. It's one particular game that we're going to be
You guys really shouldn't be surprised that we're talking
about this. You really should not
be
surprised. Like, at this point, you should already know what we're going to talk about. I mean, we don't even have to put this out on Facebook the week before we do the show.
It's my favorite subject times three.
Yes, it has a lot of depth. One could say it might have a lot of mass.
And girth, too.
Yes, and girth.
Perpetuating through space.
And it affects many within the game community. Get it?
Do you just... In the gay community?
I meant to say gaming community. Did I say the gay community?
It sounded like you said gay community. And I mean, it might.
I mean, it could.
It could.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little stuffy right now, so I got a little spill.
It sounded like gay, but I know you meant game, but I was like, my brain was like, she said gay, but she meant game. It's like, but I heard gay.
It's very possible. Like I said, I have spilkus in my gonectica joint. It's coming down. So, but I meant to say game.
That's
all
right.
It could very, very much affect many in the gay community, too, when you think about
gay
it.
Gay gamers, yeah.
So, we're talking about Mass Effect 3, just in case you didn't figure it out from all of that.
And I know I talked about the demo, but we're going to expand on
Yeah, we've already talked
show.
About the demo, and I don't know about you, but I've played the demo now, like, 10 times.
No, I only played it 3 times.
I played it 10. I played it different combinations, and I fem-shep in, like, 6 different ways. But we are very excited about Mass Effect 3. A lot of people are excited about Mass Effect 3. And a ton of you are like, meh, didn't play the first two. Or, meh, I'm not really, like, feeling it. And that's okay.
We're kind of worried about what EA might do this time.
We're gonna get into all of that. The first place I want to start, though, is with the hype machine. Because, frankly, the hype machine for Mass Effect 3... has been rolling for over a year.
Easy.
I mean, the game was pretty much being hyped before most people finished 2.
Well, that's because a lot of people were eating up that downloadable content like chips next to their sandwich.
Yo, I was all up in the DLC like chip and onion dip, son. I got all pieces of the DLC. I completed all pieces of the DLC.
See, I didn't get all the DLC.
What didn't you get?
That one that had the additional sexy girl character in it.
Oh, man! I really enjoyed that, because that's where you get the sexy femship dress.
Yeah, I didn't go that far.
You didn't do that?
No.
Well then, because that was Awakening, and you didn't do
Nope.
Or, what was that called?
I did everything up until that
What's last Face's one. Memory.
Yeah.
And you didn't do it?
No.
Weird.
I thought about buying it, but then, you know, real life was like, yeah. Do you have time for this? No. Okay.
Oh. Dude, yeah, no, it was, interesting little side story and, you know, nice addition for the character. I am looking forward to the DLC for Mass Effect 3. They've already said that they've been working on what those DLC packs were going to be before the game was actually Golden Master. So that tells me that they were already thinking of how...
Well, they wanted to make
the extension of the story was going to happen before the game actually finished shipping, which I am actually very excited about.
Well, I mean, they're completing the trilogy of Shepard. You know, Shepard's story is done here. So they had to have known where they were going to go with downloadable content, because they're going to make all of that appealing and fill in any idea of openness or loophole within the DLC going forward. So they would have had to know that if they were claiming that this was the end of it, because you can't keep putting downloadable content on the end of something.
Right.
Either it ends or it doesn't.
Right. And I think that, you know, one thing that we all have to be very mindful of is everything that I've heard about Mass Effect 3 is this is the end of Shepard's story.
Yep.
It's not the end of the franchise.
No, but just
it's Commander Shepard's story. So that leads me to think, is some of the DLC the setup for
whoever is going to take the mantle?
Is going to take the mantle
her,
after Shepard.
Them Shep.
Them Shep.
I'm going to call them Them Shep.
I like Them Shep.
Them Shep. Because you don't know.
Yeah. And so that's very interesting to me to see, well, since this is the battle basically for humanity, so it's very much a Gears setup in that it's now us against them and us being humanoid.
It's you against everything in this story because everything's coming at you. You've got several different oppressors from every possible angle.
I mean, it's pretty much the Reapers, and at the same time as the Reapers are now coming to reap, if you will.
Right.
There are all the little things that you were running through in the first two games trying to correct. So if you didn't play a Mass Effect 3, Mass Effect game ever,
you're going to be dealing with a lot of shit.
You are a human amongst many different races in space. And much like countries and peoples here in the real world on our planet of Earth, some get along with others and some do not. Some may or may not have caused a plague, an biogenic plague, if you will, a biophage, upon the peoples of another planet, which may have pissed them off, like a skosh.
A skosh?
All right. So they're like really pissed off, actually, that they can't procreate.
Wouldn't you be pretty pissed if you couldn't procreate?
Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed. I'm not even gonna lie. That would if I was made infertile by another planet of basically nerds.
And they're like, we're not getting any, so you're not getting any.
I mean, that's basically like how I think of the genophage. It's basically the nerd planet made the jock planet infertile.
Sterile.
Yeah. Just sterilized all of them.
That's what you get for pulling my, you know, giving me wedgies in high school.
Because when you look at the species, they're all scientists, they're all cerebral, they're extremely nerdy.
Honestly, I feel like if you put that race together with the Krogans, you'd have, like, the perfect alien.
Yeah, race. And so, you know, the poor Krogans, they can't have babies, but they're trying, and, you know, they believe that there are some females someplace that are fertile and they'll be able to continue on the race, and so you've got that, and yep. Somehow your Shepard character, female or otherwise, ends up in their story and trying to ease
tensions,
right, relations between those nations, all while still dealing with the whole there's Reapers
looming
in space,
well,
and
that the Reapers are coming
and going to wipe out everything that is biotic.
Better get your techno glow lights ready for that epic orgy
in this entire universe. So we might want to be concerned with that. Just throwing that one out there. In addition,
better
to
get
the whole
it in because you don't know when the next
genophage thing. And then, you know, you also have the stuff that's going on with Liara and that whole planet of there's a lot of shit. okay, that you end up kind of mediating and or depending upon the choices that you make as shepherd, fuck it up or being a pacifier for, if you will. So you basically always have a fight or a conflict of some sort on all three phases. So you're pretty much always in the middle of some shit. Whether it's just petty emotional shit with your crew on your ship. Or, you know, the plight of an entire nation.
Right. It's like, no, like, I definitely loved in the demo, excuse me, I liked that when you were in the demo and you're constructing your shepherd, that when you're building your backstory, they allude to you that you can either be a type of personality where you internalize everything and it's going to somehow manifest in your coup d'etat.
Right.
You know, or, you know, if you're a badass and you're like, casualties are casualties and whatever, and you're able to, you know, put process that and let that go where it's going to go. But I love the fact that they're allowing us to be a Byronic hero where we know that we've gone through some really deep and dark shit, but I'm still doing everything I'm doing for a overall better cause than just myself.
Yeah. That
and I'm going to feel that price of whatever I'm doing physically within myself, and I'm not putting that out on, no, I'm not projecting that anywhere else, which I think is really cool.
And deep.
Yeah, very deep.
For a video game.
But I mean, it's part of BioWare.
I know, but it's part of your setup. You're just like, wow, this is not...
Like, already, I'm like, I already know that I want a super conflicted shepherd.
Oh yeah, my shepherd's gonna be so...
Like, I want her screaming in the night, crying.
Like onions have layers, my shepherd will have layers.
See, but my shepherd's like a parfait. There are layers.
But some are
sweeter than other layers, and then some are so mushy that they have no flavor anymore, and she's like, I can't feel anything. It's a really depressing parfait. It's not a delicious one. It's one full of truth.
Your parfaits are so emo.
I know.
It's so weird. So
there's no texture or feeling.
There's no texture, feeling, or...
sensations in my parfait.
Your parfait has no sensation.
Ew, that sounds bad.
It really does. That is, like, nasty.
I know.
So, with all of that said, after we ran through the demo, I kind of went back and I actually popped in some of my Mass Effect 2 because I had really just wanted to kind of remember where I left off.
I'm probably going
to
do that after the show.
Just because I wanted to really be prepared. So maybe what I'll do is... I don't know if I can read the DLC, so you could actually play whatever the frack. Her name's like escaping right now.
I can't remember it.
Begins with a K. It's not Kasumi, but it's...
No, it is. It's like Kasumi.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like something like that. Something. Yeah. Anyway, her memory. So I went back and looked, and I first thing that hit me was, holy crap, that's right. This game is beautiful. It always has been a beautiful, beautiful game to look at. All of Mass Effect. And it reminded me that 3 didn't let you down, at least from the demo standpoint.
No way.
So I started looking at some of the trailers, both the teaser trailer, the theatrical trailer that came out, which more than likely, if you watch Spike, MTV... Cartoon Network, Comedy Central, and I've even actually seen it on Fox.
Fox.
Well, but that still is close to, you know, your
syndicated television.
National broadcast.
Yeah.
And not pay for cable. Probably have seen the theatrical trailer as a commercial, which is Take Back Earth. And very much like the Gears of War commercial, the Take Back Earth campaign has a lot of gravitas. It is, you know, where the Modern Warfare 3 had a little fun, poked a little fun at itself and the whole genre. The Mass Effect 3 theatrical trailer is that. It is very theatrical. It is very deep. It is specifically designed to make an emotional connection with you.
An impact, if you
will. It does. And it's really strong. And so after I watched that, I was like, if you had any doubts about being sold on this game... The theatrical trailer should nip those in the bud because it basically outlines that it for all intents and purposes, as Pandalicious said, it is you against everything. Everything is going to shit at the same time, and Shepherd is stuck in the middle of it.
Like, you think you have a bad day when you have two or three things that go wrong? You've got at least, I'm going to guesstimate. Because, I mean, this depends on, one, how thorough you were in one, and in two.
I mean, I didn't probe every planet.
I probed every planet multiple times.
I didn't probe it.
Sometimes I just turned on the game to probe planets because I was bored. I'm like, I need some iridium.
I need some iridium because I have not beefed up my shields.
Yeah, but no, but it really does depend on the kind of gamer you are,
right?
With a Western RPG, yeah. which is what Mass Effect is, because I know a lot of RPG people. And players are just like, I can't really get into Western RPGs, you know, and there's always that conflict between Western and Eastern, you know, or Japan, you know, JRPGs or whatever you want to call them. Actual RPGs and then Americanized RPGs.
Did you say Americanized?
Americanized.
It's got cheddar.
It's got space. No,
Wait. Wait, there are plenty of Xenosaga.
Hold on. Let me...
It's in space?
Yes, but let me... When you think RPG, actual RPGs, you're thinking mystical realm, magic users, out in the woods somewhere, maybe some mountains, dragons, or things that fly and shit. But when you think Americanized RPG, you think what?
When you keep saying American, I see dudes in Atlas chaps.
I don't even want to say American. But I'm just saying. Think about it. I mean, let's even look at it in the confines of BioWare itself. We have them doing a more traditional RPG with Dragon Age and Mass Effect. A lot of people, even though technically Dragon Age being from BioWare would make it a Western RPG, they were dealing with the fundamentals from a traditional RPG, which a lot of people were like, oh, I love Dragon Age, even though...
Well, I think that you can't... You've got to be very careful when you start, you know, doing East versus West. I think...
There is a significant difference.
I think you just have to be very careful because fantasy, at least to me, is not specifically focused on medieval, you know, knights and
I didn't
wizards
say
and,
anything about knights.
But
I said
no
magical
but
properties.
Saying magical properties, and you said, you know, out in the woods, spells and wizards, which when you start saying that, automatically I think I can speak for a chunk of people.
Okay.
If you say magic and wizards, I'm not thinking future and space. When you say magic and wizards, the moment most people hear wizards, they think
Harry Potter and then they think London.
Now. But for some of us, you see wizards, we think wizard
Merlin.
We think Merlin. We think Canterbury Tales. We think dragons and knights and elves, oh my.
Right.
Which puts you in medieval times, and I don't think that fantasy is just focused on that.
No, but a lot of the core foundation will incorporate many of those attributes.
Yeah, but many of those attributes you can get in space as well. They're just more futurized.
You're dealing with science when you're in space. You're not dealing with fantasy in the...
Some of the science is pretty fucking magical.
Well, yes, but that's a totally different conversation.
Okay,
yeah.
Science is magic, and magic is science.
Magnets, how do they fucking work? Miracles.
Miracles! I tell you, miracles!
But anyway, that's not what we're talking about today.
I know, we went on a tangent. Let's come back, Mass Effect space. Awesome. Dude, so here's the thing. Mass Effect. I fucking love it. It's one of the only RPGs, whether you want to make the case for it being an RPG or not, guess what it is, suck it up. It's one of the only RPGs that I fucking love.
You like action RPGs.
I do. I love action RPGs. I've actually stated that, like, more than a couple of times.
I think if we went back into the Cutting Room 4 and listened to you, any time that we've talked about an action RPG, you've been like, I love it.
Pretty much.
Ninja, I love it.
Because I love the story. The element of RPGs overall that I love is that they always have a very deep and very rich story that they're trying to tell and trying to make you a part of. Okay, some of them succeed on the immersive thing, and some of them don't. For me to have immersion, I cannot get down with turn-based. Turn-based breaks the ability for me to have an immersive experience. And I think that's where I stop enjoying it. If I don't have that break in the experience, I fucking love it. Because it has all the aspects of gaming that I really enjoy. Great visuals, great story, high replay value. That's what I want. I don't care what the genre is. If I have that, I will play it. Okay, for the longest time.
Scary.
Yeah, unless it's scary. If it's scary and it has all this.
Because Alan Wake, great story, great immersion, and it scared the fuck out of me.
But then I'll watch. I won't play it, but I'll watch. You're a voyeur. I will. I like to watch the scary stuff, but I won't play it. You know, like Dead Island.
That wasn't really scary.
It wasn't really scary, but.
There were jump scares.
There were jump scares, and I don't like jump scares. But, you know.
You don't like scares.
And not in my video games. And no. Not in my movies, frankly. I don't.
And not in your books, because that's your brain fucking with you.
No, I like the scary in my books. I like the thrill
I feel like
in my book.
Brain will conjure up things that are far more scary than anything.
I know, I won't sleep right, but I like the chill and the scary in my books, but I don't like it in my interactive
When
media.
Have you picked up a book to read it?
What Stephen book? Colbert book. I am American, so can you. I own it. I read it.
But it's not scary.
So? But you just said, when have you picked up a book?
I have not seen you. Where's this
nasty
book?
Nasty-ass heifer.
After the show, I'm going to look
for
that
book.
When
was the last time you picked up a book and read it?
Actually, I just finished reading The Book of Shadows that was in my room that I, like, started reading 4 years ago. So I actually just finished that, like, 2 days ago. So,
yeah.
Like, fairly recently.
Oh, yeah. Really? Really?
Yeah.
You're sitting here in your little hipster scarf and your hipster glasses.
They're my actual glasses. And this scarf you bought me.
I know.
So.
It's a fucking hipster scarf.
So.
You're welcome. So anyway, casting aspersions upon my...
Aspersions! It sounds like a spell.
Aspersions! Anyway, back to Mass Effect. What we wanted to talk about today was getting past all the hype. So everyone's been talking about Mass Effect 3 for the longest time. Will some of the things that we brought up as issues be addressed in this version? For instance, for a lot of people who had played the first game, when the second game came out, the one thing that a lot of people jumped on pretty quickly, and frankly, when it first happened, I didn't think it was going to be a big issue for me, but as I remember, it actually became one, was in the first game, whatever character you picked, female or male, you could pretty much sex up anybody. Because let's face it, war is hard. War in space is even harder.
So why not bang some aliens?
And sometimes you just got to get some stress out. You know, to keep yourself sane.
Rub up some stress.
And so you had the ability...
To get down with some blue aliens.
Get jiggy. You can get jiggy with whomever you like.
You can get down with a Balchinian.
I'm not even saying anything to that. Moving on! So, second game, however, that choice, that option was taken away. And so... You know,
you could flirt with chicks all you wanted, but when you were ready to get boom boom jiggy, they were all like, no. I can't. I respect you, Commander. It's like, respect my vagina.
And so
with
it
your
was,
face.
You know, man could only lie with woman, and woman could only lie with man.
But that was weird, though, because it's like, they were not saying you couldn't get jiggy with aliens, you just couldn't get down with same-sex aliens.
Yeah.
Because my femshep was all over my Garrison, his sniper rifle. Like you
yeah, my
friend.
Yeah, well, when you looked at what your options were you going to get down with Erdnod Rex? I don't think so.
No.
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 No. And I wasn't going to get with skinny-legged Kanye West, either.
Skinny-legged Kanye West. Like, Jacob do be looking like Kanye West, though.
From the face to his abs.
Yeah, face
his legs.
To his abs. Because his legs did not match his body profile.
He should have been wearing skinny jeans in space.
Seriously, he should have. Real time. Anyway, but for a lot of people, that caused some issue. And at first, I was like, dude, it doesn't make a difference. It's one small aspect of the game and that kind of thing. But then when you started playing the game and you got to that point where you had to make the decision.
It's like, are you going to get boom, boom, jiggy, or are you just going to be a war hero who just rubs off in the night?
I found myself really upset that I was not able to make the choice that, frankly, I felt my feng shui would make.
Were you going to try to get with Jack? Is that who you were trying to aim for getting some boom boom?
So here's the thing, right? My femshep was kind of a badass, right?
Right. Okay. Yes.
She was good and she made mostly paragon decisions.
Unless somebody fucked with her, like that dude who tried to drug me at that bar.
I fucked him up. Yeah. But for the most part, made the Paragon decisions, which are the positive decisions. If you make the negative decisions, they're renegade, and so you get points for the decisions that you make at
certain times. This is for people who've never played the game and don't understand the mix.
And so my Shepherd was mostly Paragon, but I felt like for the things that my Shepherd had been through in her backstory, of all the characters that she would have been attracted to, what do you call it? In the red suit. What was her name?
Chick in the red suit?
Yeah, the blue alien chick.
Oh, God. I don't remember her name either.
It begins with an S.
But she wouldn't let you because she was poisonous. Right. Wasn't she?
You might go mad.
Yeah, you would go mad by doing her. So she was like, no, I can't.
Well, her kids might go mad. Because that's what you're talking about.
We're the kind that drive people insane. I can't remember.
Samara?
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
My Shepherd would have chosen her or Jack.
But she would have made you go insane.
But that's what my Shepherd would have chosen.
See,
my Shepherd got with Garrus.
Because my Shepherd was not
getting down with fake Kanye.
I was feeling Garrus when I first got him to the party. I'm like, I think this is going to be my choice. But I'm like, if I can get with Miranda, I'll get with Miranda. And then Miranda and Jack had that fucking fight, and I didn't have enough Paragon points to make them both happy.
Well, here's the thing. In order to have enough Paragon points to make them both happy, you basically have to have the helmet that boosts your Paragon.
Which I didn't get till near the very end of the game.
And then you basically have to go and do pretty much all of the side missions and make the Paragon decisions in order to get enough points. Because I kept going back and seeing if I could, like, persuade
her to come out of her fucking office.
She wouldn't. And so finally I was like, oh, come on. And I got enough Paragon points where a third option showed up. I couldn't select it yet, but it was one that looked like it would get her on more of a positive path with me to come out. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I need like 18 more Paragon points before I'll be able to choose that option to maybe get this bitch to
come out of her room. She wouldn't come out the office. I'm like, fine, you don't get my business. It's like, Garrus, let's get the business. She's like, we should do this while we have time. I'm like, let's do it.
Yes.
Hey, buddy, it's like, I need you to take care of this itch for me.
I got an itch. I need you to scratch because I can't reach it.
I could reach it, but I don't want to reach it if you're watching.
I don't
want to
reach it if you're...
I'd rather you be watching me.
All right, so let's get back on track here. In Mass Effect 3, however...
latent back thoughts.
In Mass Effect 3, however, the choice is back. Because it was a lot of brouhaha, and when
well,
I
no
got...
no offense, if you were down for Lady Love, wouldn't you want...
Well, I think that the thing that for me was not so much that I couldn't do it, was that the connotation of what BioWare was saying without actually saying it. And I think that that's where a lot of people got in upset, was that it wasn't that I couldn't just have my femme chef be a slut and sleep with everybody on the ship, which
I think should be a viable option. You're in space.
Hello. Bang a bunch of people. I'm not saying you should have a space orgy.
Do you get space STDs?
Yeah, you can get space herpes. Space herpes are like worse because you can't go horseback riding and
they have horses in space?
Yeah, they have horses in space. Have you never been on a holodeck?
Are they like mechanical horses?
No, they're like holodeck horses.
No.
You know what? Sometimes your nerd just, like, is not there.
No, I would just think robotic horses. I would not think holodeck
horses. How are you going to have robotic horses? You're going to have to fix them all the time.
Well, not if you take good care of your horse. You don't.
Yeah, we'll have this conversation offline. For me, the thing that made me really upset was that basically because of hubbub that you probably got at the end of the first game, of having, because there was a lot of publicity that went on being.
I remember Fox was like blowing it up.
Yeah, and so it felt like you caved to the pressure to weigh this choice, and whether you meant to or not, we're basically saying even in space, men have to be with women and women have to be with men, regardless of.
In space, no one can hear you scream because there's no oxygen, so it wouldn't carry voice.
See, and then your nerd comes right back. And
see?
I'm kind of proud of you.
See? See?
And so I just felt like it was a condemnation of, frankly, the gay lifestyle, and that upset me. And that's where I really got upset, because
you love the gays.
I fucking love the gays. I know. They're so awesome.
I know.
And so I felt like it was a condemnation of a lifestyle without blatantly being one. And that really hurt my sensibilities. And frankly, it hurt my feelings.
Aww.
It did, because I'm an adult. And I'm playing a video game. It's not like I'm dealing with real people's lives here.
It's my choice, god dang it.
It is my choice. And if I want to take my character and have my character be with women, then that should be my right. I'm a freaking adult.
You're an adult.
Okay, I can make adult damn decisions. Don't take my decision away and force me down.
Because then I'm going to rebel.
Basically.
Hell yeah.
And so I was really glad to see that in the third game, the sensibilities came back, and it was, no, you have the choice. Your shepherd can love whoever your shepherd wants to love. And that's the way it should be.
Hell yeah.
And so I was excited to know that it would be back, because I got pretty vocal about it on social networks when that happened, and I didn't think that I really would. But it did affect me. You know, I felt like I was missing an option. And in an RPG game, options are key. That's the whole thing. And I felt like a whole set was taken away from me. So I'm glad that it's back in this game. I'm glad that you'll be able to, in this game, do the Player Plus, the new game plus. So you'll be able to, after you complete the game, continue to play the game and go and get any items that you didn't get through your first round, replay, and have your character built the way that they are. I like that a lot, because, mm-hmm. frankly, my first run through, I am only going to be getting the things that I need to move the story along, because I want to know the story. And then I will go back and do
some... If it's worth investing in, you'll go
back. The completionist stuff.
Right.
But really, for me, it's the story, but I like knowing that I will be able to go back and do the completionist stuff. I won't have to start a whole new game and relive whatever sadness is about to befall me, or not, as the case may be. I know that multiplayer is finally going to be something that I will actually be able to enjoy.
Yeah.
And seeing as how Pandalicious is picking up a copy of this game at the midnight lunch at our local GameStop, we will be able to actually do that.
Yep.
Now, when we talked about the demo, we talked a little bit about the different gameplay modes.
Yeah. Yes, we did talk about that. The styles, the right. different play styles. And they're pretty basic, actually. I mean, there's role-playing, there's action, and there's story. And really what those will do is they will fluctuate how much cutscene you'll get,
mm-hmm.
and how much vocal interaction if you're using your Kinect, or how many conversation dialogue trees will occur in whatever scenario you're in. So, I mean, if you're all action and you really don't care about the development of your shepherd and the relationships, you're not going to get any cutscenes relating to that. You're strictly getting your objective, whatever dialogue comes with that, and then when you complete it. And that's all you're really going to get in that. The story is going to give you a little bit more than that, but...
Right.
And I think role-playing is the most...
Full-on, traditional...
Full immersion.
Aspect experience.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that's the only difference about the play styles, really. And the Kinect thing is an optional thing. You don't necessarily have to have it to play this game.
Now, you've played the demo both as the controller only and as the...
Yes, I did.
Kinect-enabled.
Yep.
Does the Kinect-enabled version of play make it more of an immersive feeling, or does it add to your frustration in any way?
I did not feel frustrated using the Kinect aspect. I mean, obviously, there's a little bit of a learning curve, because, one, you have to learn what all the abilities are, because in order to get them to actually, you have to say them. It's all verbal command. So, I mean, if you don't know what moves you really want, then you'll just be screaming out random words until you figure out your pattern. But, I mean, I didn't find it all that frustrating to use, and I felt that I was able to take more time in my shots, because I was aiming up a shot, but I was telling Garrus to take point, so I had him sniping from front, so I wasn't focusing on my whole group. I could actually really focus on myself, because all I had to do was say a command, and they would be doing whatever it is that I said.
Yeah, I never moved my party into position.
Yep. I was like, Garrus, take point. you know, and I'd yell at a move that only Liara had, because I think in one of the scenarios you have Garrus and Liara with you. So I had her doing her biotic stuff, and I had Garrus up front, and I was allowed to be all infiltratory, because that's, I tend to go infiltrator my first game through.
Right.
And I'm just kind of stealthing around and setting up shots and stuff like that. So I didn't find it hindering in any way, shape, or form, but I could see how someone who is just jumping into this game might not be ready for that kind of level of immersion. And it didn't pull me up because I was screaming out attacks, because I wasn't even focusing on the fact that I was giving directions. I was really like, I'm in a battle right now, do what you guys need to do, and I'm doing what I need to do. So, like, I didn't feel pulled out of it because I was adding more of me into it, personally.
Gotcha. Now, one of the things that some people have been bringing up already about the game is that 3's mechanics are different than the previous 2 games.
Yep.
And that they don't like it, and they're afraid that it is an oversimplification, and that it is actually going to take away from the
people
game.
Are saying that about the playstyles too, because, oh, you don't want the cutscenes. Hello, it's BioWare. Like, their foundation is their universe. So you're saying you don't like BioWare because you just want the straight-up action? Go play fucking Modern Warfare if all you want is to shoot people in the face.
Here's the thing. I disagree. And here's why I disagree. I love BioWare games. Okay? If you really go through the entire immersive experience of Mass Effect, any game, you're looking at a 60-hour playtime. I work 70 hours a week. Where am I going to get 60 hours to play this game?
Me? No, no.
Exactly. So maybe I want to know the story, and I want to have some gameplay, but frankly, I got to get through this game in 20 hours or less. I feel like that's what the different modes are. It's the end of Shepard's story. Do you want to just see what the end of Shepard's story is? Okay, great. Then here's a way for you to do that. Get all the way through it so you can still enjoy this game. Do you have the time? Only work a 40-hour week? You can get.
Do you not work at all?
You know, crack the jokes, but I feel like that's really what they're offering. Do you want to have the Shepard experience? How do you want it? Fast, medium, or slow?
I'd say normal.
You know, and that's really what you get.
You get accelerated, you get speedy, and then you get normal.
Okay, but you can choose, and if we're talking about having an RPG, you get to choose the experience that you have right from the beginning. And so I don't think it's an oversimplification of the play styles. I think the play styles are really, how do you want this experience to be right from the get-go? Because we realize you want to know what's going to happen. You want to have the experience, but maybe you don't have 60 hours to get to it. And we really want you to buy this game. So here's a way that you can get to the experience, still have a rich experience, okay? It's not that there are absolutely no cutscenes, it's just that they're not interactive, meaning that you have to make choices in them, okay? And they're not as many, but they're still there to move the plot and the story across, okay? To me, that's valuable. Because it says you understand who your potential market is and who your core is.
Right.
So for the hardcore, get it the way you want it. 60 hours plus, awesomeness, cutscenes galore. Because I think there's something like 85 minutes of cutscenes alone in the whole thing. But get the whole thing the way you want it. It's beautiful. It runs at the
you
right
time. You want fries with that? You got fries with
we'll
that.
We'll give you a shake, fries, onion rings. It's all there. The smorgasbord is
it's
yours.
It's a fucking buffet.
Okay, but if you gotta go through the drive-thru and you just want like a chicken McNugget, we have that version for you too. That to me, I think, is very valuable, and I don't think that it should be sloughed off as being a way to make it more mainstream or a way to dumb it down, because to me, that's not what's happening. What's happening is that we realize that for the people that played Mass Effect 1, if you do the math, I think Mass Effect 1 came out, what, almost a decade ago?
I'd say.
Okay.
Maybe.
So you're talking about people that maybe at the time that they picked that up were 18, which means just out of high school, just going into college, you have 40, 50 hours. You can find it because you're up till 5 o'clock in the morning.
You don't sleep in college.
Exactly.
Sleep is for pussies.
But those people are now 28.
And now they're all going to bed at like 9.
Well, not 9, but... you know,
I am 27. I am in bed watching TV at like 9, 10 o'clock.
Okay, so, but
if I'm up past 10, I must be out somewhere that I can't get to a bed.
Okay. And so, realizing that, hey, the people that started with this, who are hardcore with the franchise, may not have the same lifestyle and time set available that they did when we started this.
Right.
So I don't think it's a cop-out. I don't take it as that, so I disagree. Yeah, if you just want to shoot them up first person, shooter, those exist. And even those have cutscenes. Modern Warfare has cutscenes.
Yeah, I know.
Okay? So, I disagree with the people going, oh, it's just a way to make it more mainstream. In the background, it probably is. I think that there'll probably be a few more people.
It's a marketing play. They want to appeal to as many possible niches and demographics as possible.
But if you're in business, that's what you want to do anyway.
Yes, I know. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's probably true. I know, but there's a bunch
of people. There are a lot of people that feel that that's what it is. And I just want to say that I disagree. I think that, you know, yes, it is a marketing ploy.
I'd rather be familiar with the evil I know than the evil that I don't know.
But I don't think that it's evil.
I don't mean like super bad, bad evil, but they're looking at it as a big, bad company. But at least one, they're making it known. They're not hiding the fact that that's what they're doing. It's just like, hey, this is how we run it. If you don't like it, don't buy the game. People are buying the game regardless of their negative, their negative feelings towards whatever.
I mean, here's the thing. Game mechanics change from game to game.
Yes.
They always have.
But there was a big jump between 1 and 2. Like, I didn't get 1 until after I played 2 because someone was nice enough to buy me 1.
Yeah, there's a huge change in the mechanics between 1 and 2, and there's a change
in
the mechanics.
Don't ever go backwards, by the way.
And there's a change in the mechanics from 2 to 3. You know, and I guess I don't understand people's reactions to the change in the mechanics, because when you look at most franchise games, with the exception of Nintendo.
Yeah.
But when you look at most franchises, there's usually a shift in the mechanics from one version to another. Sometimes it's because different teams are brought in to work on a game, and sometimes it's just because the mechanics need to be refined. I mean, if you look at the Assassin's franchise.
Yes.
Okay? You look at Assassin's 1.
Okay? No thanks.
Come on now, stay with
okay.
me.
Okay.
Alright? The mechanics in 1. Now look at the mechanics in Revelations.
So much better.
Massive change.
Yes.
Okay? Bomb crafting alone. Massive change.
Press X to change.
You know, button maps were different, but it didn't take away from the experience.
No.
It didn't take away from the storytelling. So I think...
But now let me throw something that I know that right away, as soon as you noticed that there was a difference in the game control and mechanics and moves, you were highly upset because you had already had a set hand...
Are you going to bring out Soul Calibur?
Yes, I am. Because you're like, her move list is completely different. Blah, 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 blah. And, like, you bitched about it.
I did bitch about it.
So, I mean, it depends, I think, on the game. Something that we've seen so many games of its likeness, like with Soul Calibur and Mortal Kombat, where we are used to that overly weird mini-penis joystick and that smacking it around and that... You're used to that. And then when you get it...
Well, because you're dealing with two different genres. Okay, when you're talking about an action game, which has platforming elements, I don't feel as locked into movements, right? Because I may solve a puzzle in a platformer completely different from the way that you would solve the puzzle.
Oh, definitely.
And so there's no set command to get through the puzzle.
Right.
Okay. When you're dealing with a fighter, there's a set way to do a move.
Right.
Okay? We all know how to do the Hadouken.
Downright fierce.
All right? It's downright fierce. It's been downright fierce from the first motherfucking Street Fighter.
Right, all which the is way why through. I think people clamored when Street Fighter and Super Street Fighter came back out, because they stayed true to most of the original characters.
Exactly, and Soul Calibur 5 did not. I'm sitting there, and Ivy is my character. I love Ivy to death. I still can't do all of her special moves, but I love Ivy, okay? I've played everybody in the game. I typically...
Outside of the Italian guy who you haven't unlocked yet.
Well, I'm just talking about the main characters.
Right.
Because you gotta remember, I started with the original Soul Edge game. I still have it for my PS1. Well, so I have the original... Yeah, so I have the original Soul Edge game, which I played. through Soul Calibur and the evolution, I had Soul Calibur on my Dreamcast. Okay? That's how much I love the franchise. I got that shit on my Dreamcast. And Ivy's moves, up until Soul Calibur 5, have always been identical. So it didn't matter if I played first player or second player, I knew my chick. So I was a little distraught and peeved, yes, when I go to pick up my girl. I'm like, all right, so it's just like riding a bike. I know it's been a little while, but baby, I'm back. You know, and I still got my moves, my strokes the same. And then I jump in and strokes not the same. I had to say, ¿cuál es la fuque?
¿Cuál es la fuque?
That's really bad broken French and,
sorry, you people who speak French.
So don't take that. But seriously.
We love you guys.
And that's where my frustration came, because I play a lot of fighters. At, you know, Street Fighter, Tekken.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat, Dead or Alive, all the way through. And the one thing that you don't do with a fighter, because it is a set move. It's not like there's a platforming element. There's a, I'm fighting you, so I need to be able to do this special move and that special move. From version to version, that shouldn't change. And if it does change, you gotta let me know. New moves list. Because if I'm going into a tournament, and I'm thinking, alright, Hadouken's downright fierce, and you're like, actually it's not. It's down back fierce. I'm fucked.
Yep.
Because for 13 years, it's been downright fierce.
Right.
You know, so I think fighters changing moves lists within a franchise is a different thing than changing a button mapping in an FPS.
Yes.
Or changing a button mapping in an action platformer. I think the closest really would be an FPS changer.
I would agree with that. But let's talk, you know, talk a little bit about the combat, because believe it or not, they have brought up the fact that difficulty is upped.
Ooh.
Yes. Ooh. I'm trying to... I want to get the quote.
Well, I mean, this is the Battle to Save Earth, so it should be a little more intense.
I want to quote this exactly, because I think this came from Casey Hudson, who was describing Normal as the new veteran. So, you're
Wait,
already...
Normal's new veteran?
Is the new veteran. Yes. Oh. Which means they have upped difficulty.
Oh.
And it looks like the combat speed has also been increased between 10 and 15%.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if you play the demo...
You're getting action all the time, yeah.
I mean, like, I actually died once during the demo.
I haven't died once during the demo yet.
I did because I ran out of ammo.
Yeah, see,
and I couldn't see where the gun was to pick it up.
But I like that idea, especially me, who I like to... I like to say I'm a completionist, but I have to be really... I gotta really love the story to come
out.
Well,
I like to say that you're a sadist, but you actually like the way you feel, so you're a masochist.
I'm a masochist. Oh, it hurts so good! Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's about right.
Yep.
But I'm the kind of person when it comes to a game where, you know, they'll give you your easy and your normal, and you have to unlock your other difficulties. I like being challenged.
Then why won't you play Ninja Gaiden?
Because that's already...
That's the ultimate masochist game.
That's super mega hard at the start. And I was like, yeah, I like to work into my pain. I don't want to just experience it coming through the door.
Here's the thing. Once you die the third time, it gives you the option. It says, all right, pussy, here you go. Play
yeah,
easy.
See, I don't like...
And even the easy isn't that easy. Do me a solid. Just do me a solid. Do me one solid,
Mass
and then I'll let it
go. Coming
out
right now. I can't commit to jumping into another game.
No. Just do me one solid. Just do me one solid for, like, For a couple of hours one day, and then I swear to God, I'll let it go.
I have to get
it
back
in
Hot Mess. I gave it to Hot Mess.
I have a copy. Don't worry about it. It's cool. just do me this one solid.
You
okay?
Will not let this go.
No, I'm not gonna let it go.
But I might make you play Cap. I might make you play Alan Wake.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Are we doing this?
All right. So we're going to do this. All right. Because this is how much I feel about this.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I feel like if you got into it, and you went past the first...
I know, I didn't get very
far. You didn't. But if you got past the first two... One, I think the story is right up your fucking alley. The characters are right up your fucking alley. Like, big time. Seriously. The fighting is right up your fucking alley.
Get to the bread and butter.
So here's the bread and butter. I think you would fucking love the... basically say... sadistic way that the whole franchise just hurts you so good. Frankly. Okay. Really. Really you would.
I'm telling you, if I commit to several hours, we're gonna make a deal.
Okay, we're gonna make a deal
right in front of all of you guys here.
We're gonna make the deal right in front of you people right now. Mark this shit. Keep this episode because it's really important.
Tell me what the signature time for this is.
So here's the deal. Okay, if you will commit to running through Ninja Gaiden, I don't care what difficulty. I don't care if you dumb it down to pussy.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to do that.
Okay. Or just, you know, rock it out on normal. Okay.
Okay.
If you commit, I will play Alan Wake.
All of it.
Now it's going to have to happen during the daytime. It's only going to happen before dusk. I'm not playing after dusk. But if you will commit... I mean, for real,
I don't think you're getting the blunt end of this stick, because I'll do it.
I've been after you forever. I will play Alan Wake.
You, all right, no. We gotta make this slightly sweeter on my end. So, I have to commit to, I will commit.
Because I tried to play Resident Evil, but as you saw, I died like a bitch.
It's really not that hard, but whatever.
I died in the camp. I didn't even make it out of the camp in Africa.
I know. You need to play with me. I'm a champ. But anyway.
Because Resident Evil doesn't bother me.
I will...
Silent Hill scared the Jesus out of me, though.
But that's an atmosphere game. It's not even about the mechanics. You're dealing with... There's a lot of psychological horror.
Yeah, I know. I can't deal with that.
There's a lot of things going on.
I can't deal with that.
However, I will commit to playing through... Which one is it? That 2?
Yeah, I have 2 on my Xbox.
All right.
I have to check.
All right. Well, I will commit to
playing... Because I might have Sigma on my PS3. Which you can play on the PS3.
I'll commit to playing 2, or so whichever one you have.
Whichever one I have, yep.
Through completion.
Yep.
Normal difficulty.
Okay.
You will have to play through Alan Wake.
Mm-hmm.
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have to, one of your sessions, with me present, have to play at night.
I will be there. Lights will be on. Lights will be on, but I gotta play one at night.
You have to play one of your sessions of this at night.
I'm going to shake your hand right now.
We're shaking hands.
The deal has been made.
This
is going to happen.
What a horrible tangent. We're so, like, not on...
All right. So, let's jump back. But, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm glad to see that they're upping... They're upping the difficulty. They're expecting that if you've been waiting for 3, you've played 1 and 2, you are ready for whatever they're going to throw at you. So, I like the fact that they're raising the bar... And they want you to meet that challenge.
And I think that's the reason why having the different play modes also makes sense. Because if you're upping the difficulty, for people who maybe just be jumping into the platform, you don't want to have to retard that in any way other than, let me give you a fact.
Did you say retard that?
Yes.
I've never actually heard the word retard the proper way it's meant to be used.
You've never actually heard it properly used the way it's meant to be used.
Yes, I've never heard that. Most people are just like, "Oh, you're a butt." Like they've never used it in a sentence
the way
the
that
proper
the word is
way.
Well, I just did.
I know. So I was like, "Wait a minute!" My brain totally tingled. Like that was correct. That was great. Anyway, so yeah, glad to see that. But let's talk about what we haven't talked about, which I'm surprised.
Right. Okay.
Let's talk about the collector's editions and the swag.
Oh, yeah. Swag.
So I pulled up the list. So there's...
Oh, yeah. Go through the list.
So there's the standard edition, there's the N7 collector's edition, and there's the N7 digital deluxe edition.
These
are just getting longer and longer.
I know, aren't they?
So, I mean, if you pre-ordered from any of your venues, you're only going to be getting downloadable content. And it's not even, like, game enhancing. Like, it's weapons and it's gear. So you'll get the game, obviously. You'll get the N7 Warfare gear, the M55 Argus, and the AT-12 Raider, which are guns, I believe.
Yeah, guns.
And I don't know exactly what the gear is. I think it's just gear, like an outfit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing else. And those, you can't purchase those. There's no ability to purchase those. Those are strictly for pre-orders. I'm sure maybe later on down the road they might open that up for purchase.
Well, I don't think they will. And the reason why I say that is, you know, BioWare is very, very particular about when they say that they're giving stuff exclusive,
mm-hmm.
that it is exclusive.
Oh, okay.
So I, you know, if I could be wrong, and you know, but
that'd be more money in the future.
Yeah, and I think if that's the case, but it'd be a long,
like I mean,
road down.
Because remember, ME2 was Xbox exclusive until like a year or so later, where they're like, yeah, we're gonna give PS3 people ME2, and we're gonna give them all the downloadable content in that year edition.
Right, but it was a whole 365 days before they got it. So I think that if they do it,
it'll be something like that.
It'll be a long period of exclusivity for those people who pre-ordered into the thing up front, and then down the road it becomes available, because there's no exclusivity this time. It's out on everything.
Then next, outside of the standard edition, the N7 Collector's Edition, most of these things, if you get pre-ordered, you're going to get them right away. Some of them are available for purchase later on. So, you're going to get the N7 Arsenal Pack, which you get it when you pre-order, but you can buy it later. A robotic dog, I'm assuming that's in-game.
Yep. They want to give me an Aibo puppy, which if they want to give me an Aibo puppy for pre-ordering this game,
I think Real Esh Dog would like attack it.
Well, the Aibo puppy would stay down here and not be anywhere near Eshdog, because Eshdog would tear it. She is a destructive and vindictive bitch.
She is.
But she's so cute.
Continuing on, you'll get the Squadmate Alternative Outfit Pack, which is, you know, like I said, pre-order, you're getting it right away, but if you don't get it right away, you can buy that. There is an N7 hoodie that you will be getting. You can purchase that later also. Mm-hmm. And you will get the downloadable, you'll get the From Ashes, which I believe is downloadable content.
Yep, From Ashes is downloadable content.
And you'll get the N7 Warfare gear, and you will also get the M55 Argus, but you will not get the AT-12 Raider. You don't get that in the collector's edition. In the Digital Deluxe, you'll get everything that I've mentioned already. Yep.
So I don't get the Raider?
You do not get the Raider.
Lame sauce!
Nope. You only get the Raider it's funny, you only get it if you pre-ordered the Standard Edition or the Digital Deluxe Edition, but you don't get it in the Collector's Edition. It is not there.
Well, that's just lame.
Because even if you're getting a Standard Edition, they wanted to say, hey, you still got the game, you're going to invest, let's give you something.
But I got the Collector's Edition.
You're getting a fucking hoodie, bitch.
But not the Raider.
Some people are walking around naked who don't get hoodies. Like me. Now you're going to have two hoodies. And you can only wear one at a time.
Look, do we want to talk about what happens
That wasn't me, that was Eshdog. I did not rip that hole.
This is not a bite hole. That's a torn seam.
Oh. That might have been me.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, if it was me, I'm sorry. I don't know when I did that. If I did it. Ash Mom might have did it. Because she wore it, too. Several times.
If Mom put a hole in it, she would have sewed it up.
No, she wouldn't. Because she doesn't know where the sewing needles are. Because I have them. She'd be like,
Panda! Well, she would have owned it, like,
oh, no, Shelly. She wouldn't.
Yes, she would.
No, she
would
wouldn't.
That
because
whole
when,
little girl
no,
thing.
Because like, when Eshdog tore up my gloves, she said shit dick about it.
That's with you. She said shit dick.
You know what I meant. She didn't say anything about it. And I didn't hear about my destruction of my gloves from my neighbor 3 weeks later. And she's like, oh, yeah, that happened.
That's true. That's where I was.
So I don't think she'd open her mouth to you, because if she won't open it to me, she definitely won't open it to you.
That's true. Because she
But that's what we got in terms of the swag that is coming.
I like swag.
You like swag? I'm surprised it took us too long to talk about swag, because you love swag.
I do like the swag. Here's the thing, though. I could talk about Mass Effect all day long.
Well, we could, but that'd be a really long show.
That would be a very long show, so you gotta be real careful about that.
Yeah.
I've been sold on this game since...
I know.
The first game.
Like, we're not going to walk away from this telling you guys to not at least try it.
Okay, and I remember that I told you when I was halfway through Mass Effect 1, you need to play this game. And you said to me...
No, when you were first playing Mass Effect, I still didn't even have an Xbox yet, because it was that Christmas that you got me my arcade.
Yep.
So... For the first few months that you were playing it,
mostly
I had no access
to play
it. Because
I wanted you to play this game.
Yeah, more. and I got an Xbox Arcade, which is now dead and red-ringed and...
In the hallway. We should do something about that.
I should fix it.
You probably ought to.
Yeah.
Of course, you missed the opportunity to have Microsoft fix it, for free.
Whatever.
Anyway. Let's talk about the final piece of the epicness of this game, which, if you're not already sold on the trailers and what we've talked about up to this point in the gameplay, and that, you know, it's been successful because this is the third game in the trilogy, and there are...
So, obviously, they touched upon
something. There are a series of graphic novels around Mass Effect. I believe there's a comic that Dark Horse publishes for the universe of Mass Effect.
Do they do one for... They should do one for Dragon Age 2 if they haven't done that either.
I don't know if they've done...
I'm surprised that they didn't with all the shit that's in there.
I'd be surprised if they didn't, actually. But to prove that it's more than just a video game, when you start looking at the voice acting, it's the same people pretty much from 1 through 3. You got Martin Sheen as the Elusive Man.
Yep.
Okay, you want to talk about bringing gravitas and real acting experience into a role.
To a not sure of. Like, I know he's a villain, but you never know exactly how...
Here's the thing, there are shades of gray.
Yes.
He's definitely not black, but that fucker ain't white.
Right.
In the shades of gray panel.
Yeah, I got it,
Okay?
Yeah.
And plus, actually, he's not white, because it's Estevez, so he's...
Right.
Right. But yes. But we're not getting into that.
No.
Okay, but I'm just saying, on the good to evil,
He's definitely not pitch black, but he's definitely not on the lighter shade of that gray either.
He's not dead center.
You never exactly know where he sits.
Yeah,
and he's what not his dead real center,
but you never
is.
Know from thing to thing how far to the left towards pure or how far to the right towards not pure
he's going to be.
He's going to sit. And you need someone that can play that shades of gray character very well, and Martin can do it.
Yes.
I mean, I think we had more deep conversations about what the Elusive Man was really up to, and, you know, the fact that he's called the Elusive Man's got to tell you something about
right.
him.
He's fucking elusive.
You know, and
he
then...
He slips through things and gets away with stuff. Yes, we had a discussion
about
that.
Yeah, we did have that discussion.
So, I mean, yeah, we've got him.
Seth Green is back as the voice of Joker, which it was really funny because I remember when you played the 2 for the first time, You were talking about that character.
I was like,
and you're laughing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, because it's Seth Green. You're like, get out! I'm like, no, it's Seth Green.
Yeah.
You're like, I love Seth Green. I was like, I know.
I love the gingers. And
you do love the gingers.
It just doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that with BioWare, with Dragon Age, you know, later on in content for 2, we saw Felicia Day get, you know, a character that she was, you know, doing for the little live action web series Redemption mm-hmm. that they've actually went and they made downloadable content with her actual character now in game, Talis. I like her character in that game. So I like that they're taking icons from our industry
mm-hmm.
and our nerddom and our fandom and they're incorporating
them. You talking about the Jess Chobot?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Jess Chobot!
And I just noticed, I'm like, Felicia Day was in Dragon Age. Now we have Chobot in you know, Mass Effect. And I'm like, I like that there's so much inclusion that we're going to see, or hear, voices and commonalities in our games now. It just brings another layer of togetherness to
it
me.
Does. It brings, again, more immersion because it is a known voice, a known aesthetic, a known persona, if you will,
now
in the industry.
Her acting abilities.
Yep. You know, but you still have, you know, Keith David. Fuck yeah, Keith David!
He's the man.
Keith David is the man.
Man, you don't mess with... When he's like, jump, you jump.
Yeah. You know,
you don't like, go, should I jump now? You should have jumped when he started to say, jump.
You know, it's like Jim Brown. He's just one of those dudes that you know you don't fuck with. Like, even in a movie when Keith David's being, like, super nice and super sweet.
Still wouldn't fuck with that.
You still don't fuck with Keith David.
No.
And now you got Keith David in space. Again!
Surprising voice that I noticed, Freddie Prinze coming in to the mix.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, like I'm so surprised.
And I know, you still have surprise face. And I'm
and
like,
Sarah Michelle Gellar is nowhere to be seen because she's doing Ringer.
Wait, we talked about this like a while ago and I was like, Freddie Prinze, and you just completely like just glazed over. But yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr. is voicing
James Vega. So Chobot's character is brand new to the series also.
And, you know, the final thing, it just kind of says to me, when you start bringing in real, specific, established, seasoned acting talent to voice and bring life to your characters. That you really do have a melding now of video game as art form. You know, it's one thing that you bring in, you know, seasoned voice actors to work on a character. You know, for instance, like having the some of the voice actors that do localizations of anime over here, like the ADV crew. You know,
they need some new blood up in ADV.
Well, yeah, but it's one thing to have people of that caliber of acting and voiceover work and things like that to work on a project like this. It's another thing to bring in Martin Sheen and Freddie Prinze Jr. and, you know, Seth Green and, you know, that kind of thing. You start looking at the people who are doing voice work for stuff like Uncharted.
Right.
You know, you start seeing the caliber of voice acting going up.
You see the people who can definitely deliver a range, and then some people who might just have a niche type of voice.
But, I mean, you look at some of the real franchise, lifelong games that, frankly, we look at that are always up for Game of the Year and things like that because they have fantastic story and they have fantastic gameplay, but also they have characters that have really struck an emotional chord. And when you start looking at those for the last 3 years, really, the ones that come out on top are ones where they've brought in real, seasoned actors to do the voice work.
I'll agree with that.
I look at Uncharted.
Yes. That's true.
You know, look at... Hell! Look at even Assassins!
Yeah, that's true. Wait, but doesn't Nolan North do the voice?
Well, yeah, I mean... pretty much print Nolan North in your game, and it's gonna be, like, golden. Nolan North.
As...
Nolan North as Mario. You know, but... that would be him.
No. No.
Alright.
No.
I'm just saying.
No. Mm. No.
But...
No. No.
All right. I'll let it go. Just saying. But you look at, you know, the games that we've been raving about for the last couple of years. And I see a definite trend of, for those things that either they're trying to establish as a franchise or is a strong franchise, are the games that they've brought in real storytellers. They've brought in the best of the best as far as delivering on visuals and creating atmosphere. And one of the things that you need to do in order to create a great atmosphere is that you have to have great acting talent. And so I've seen a shift in that talent that they've brought in to do voice acting. I mean, we talked about Arkham City and Arkham Asylum, right?
Yes.
And across the board, you look at the voice acting there. And it's just nailed. It's just nailed. It's perfect. You know, Mark Hamill... And God forgive me, I've forgotten his name right now. But not Tara Strong. I remember Tara Strong. But the guy who's been doing the voice of Bruce Wayne since the animated series that Warner has done. Did the voice of Batman in the series. And it's just the right tone and the right amount of darkness and the right amount of aloofness that you need in a Bruce Wayne Batman character. And it's just really good, solid storytelling all the way around when you have all those elements put together. And when they're not all put together, you know it, and you notice it, and you feel it.
Right.
I mean, can you name any of the people that did voice work for Modern Warfare?
No.
Because they don't stand out.
Nope.
It's a good story when you jump into it. The visual's like, ah, yes!
I can only recall one of the voice actors for Gears 3 because he was a DJ. He was the guy who played Dom was a DJ. And then they brought Claudia Black in because she's just awesome.
Fucking Claudia Black! Also, in Uncharted!
Yeah.
See where I'm going with this? See where I'm going with that? Just the point I want to make is that it seems like the gaming industry is taking a key from the movie industry and going, if we really want to tell fantastic stories that are immersive, the voice is just as important as the visual.
And frankly, they just need to get Morgan Freeman in some games.
I know. We just need Morgan Freeman in a game now.
Or James Earl Jones to like do the narration of games.
Of the game. That would work too. But you know, all jokes aside, it's kind of where I've ended up, and I've noticed that I'm spending more time picking up deep, really immersive video games for their experience more than I'm going out to see a movie in the theater.
All right.
Yeah. I'm finding more entertainment. So, for instance, I enjoyed Uncharted 3 more than Expendables.
I didn't see Expendables.
I did.
It was Expendable. Sorry. Bad joke. Wow. Wah, wah.
More than the X-Men New Class movie.
I liked the X-Men
I liked Class it. Movie. But if you had to ask me which I enjoyed more, Uncharted 3.
Right.
Or X-Men New Class. As far as the story and still, being immersed.
Still don't get how they can make the black guy Darwin and he not adapt and survive. But whatever. Whatever.
So I am, as I said,
black bro walking.
Ultimately, here's where I've ended up. March 6th cannot get here fast enough.
And it comes tomorrow.
My day job boss already told me I cannot call out sick.
Because she knows you won't be
on Wednesday. She's like, don't do it. Don't do it. Just don't do it. I'm like, okay. Because like, I will kick
Well, that's
her
all right. Out. You'll be at work and I'll be seeing the Black Keys.
Yeah. No, that still doesn't make me feel better.
Oh.
But what does make me feel better.
Aren't you glad I'm not seeing Foster the People? That'd be something to be pissed about.
Oh, I would punch you in the tit.
Which one?
The right one.
Oh, that one's sore. Yeah. Don't do that.
So, ultimately, I can't wait for the 6th. I will be rushing home from my day job to throw it in and at least get a couple of hours before I pass out asleep on my couch to have the experience. Because
we have the adrenaline needles if you need a shot in the heart.
I might pick up a 6-pack of Red Bull. That's all I'm saying.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I might grab marathon one it. Of those amps and only drink half of it.
Yeah, I might do a marathon and then roll into work the next day and be like, ah, I haven't slept. Because that's how excited I am. And I want to complete the story. The visual grabbed me. They had me sold on the game before I even played the demo. And then I played the demo and, frankly, I like the choice that I have. I don't think that the hype that the game has gotten, it will live up to. I believe that for those people that try it, they will have a fantastic experience with the game. So I'm looking forward to having that and having that experience with you guys. I hope that you enjoy it as well. So I'd love for anyone who's going to be picking up the game to get in touch with us. Smack us, hit us up.
Yeah, smack us and hit us. Yeah,
yeah, smack us and hit us. We like that. We like, again.
Oh!
Masochists! No, but hit us up on our Facebook page when you pick up the game. Let us know what your thoughts are. What you're enjoying, not enjoying, where you are in the game. We can kind of, you know, run through the whole experience together on our Facebook page. We will more than likely be writing about this thing for quite some time to come. And I really would just like to know what your thoughts are, because you've pretty much heard ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. But you can check out those things that we're going to write about Mass Effect 3 on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce to the long one. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. Any questions or comments, go to mailbag@landofesh.com. We are available on iTunes, so plug us in and find us.
That's right. You can search the iTunes Music Store or the Zune Marketplace for Electric Sisterhood. And then as soon as you see that gorgeous little subscribe button, click it. That will ensure that you will get our new podcast episodes the moment we put them out on the interwebs for consumption. But guess what? That's not the only way you can get our podcast.
Nope, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right, because we are not the only show that exists in the land of Esh. We're just the one that started it. You can blame us.
Blame Ninja.
Yeah, actually. You can pretty much name, yeah, because I did start it. But you were there helping me from episode one.
Oh, God.
All four versions?
I know.
That we recorded.
What is it? I think probably Black Wolf over on the Black Wolf show was like the first 6 episodes are pure shit of any show. And I'm probably, yeah. If I think back to our first 6
I'm
shows,
pretty sure.
They were utter crap on air.
We'd have to go back and listen.
I don't want to.
I think one through four were probably pretty, like, awful. I think around six, we kind of got into
it. We were like, I think we need to put a lot more effort into what we're doing if we're going to do this.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much where we ended up. But our shows go out on Monday, where we talk about games and gadgets and the animes and the nerdy things that we like, that we have passion for. And you follow that on Tuesday with an episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast, which is co-hosted by our homeboy King Baby Duck, where they talk about the stuff they have passion for, which just happens to be sports and video games and movies and theater and music.
And ladies.
And ladies. They do like the ladies.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Then on Wednesday, you can follow that up with Geek Aggro, which quenches your nerd thirst with gadget and PC.
Things that buzz and throb and whir.
Yes.
We've been there before.
I'm just going to let her have that. Then, for the rest of the week, as it sits right now, but we should have announcements very soon. Very soon. I know we've said that before, but actually, I've been working on stuff now. For the rest of the week, your nerd needs can be settled by all the stuff that we write on our websites, which you can find individually at all of our names. Or if you want the convenient stuff and getting it all in one place, you can go to landofesh.com, where we have all of our feeds come in for all of our websites. You can see all of our articles right then and there, as well as pick up a copy of our magazine. Current issue is available, and frankly, something you should be reading. Because, you know, I mean, we made it, and we like it when you buy it, because that makes
us money. We like when you buy it.
Really? Yeah. Did you just throw a Rihanna reference
out
there?
Yes, I did.
All right, cool.
Cake. I just threw another one in there.
We're not doing birthday cake on this podcast.
Maybe in my next video.
You better not, dirty, dirty girl. So, those are all the ways that you can get to our content. You can interact with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. You can follow us on Twitter and ask us questions, find out about news that's coming up and new things that we're doing on all of our respective websites. If you want to learn about all the team members that make up Landofesh, go to my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and then follow everyone that's on that list. I'm telling you, you'll not be disappointed, because that's some real nerd shit going on right there. You can also email us questions, like Panda said. I mean, we're all over the internet. We're on YouTube.
I'm on YouTube.
Well, Panda's on YouTube. We were going to be on Vimeo, but I was like, screw it. We're on YouTube. We're on Flickr. I already said Facebook. I mean, pretty much everything that's worth being on.
Yeah.
We're on. I think the only thing that we're not on, like, as a collective, is Google Plus.
I'm on Google Plus.
I'm on Google Plus as Ninja. You're on Google Plus.
I don't know. As myself.
Yeah. But we're not on Google Plus as Land of Esh.
No.
And I really don't feel like we need to be.
I don't think we need to be either.
Because we're on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's pretty much where you need to find me. So there's that. That's it. That's like, really, we can quench that nerd thirst. Your nerd lust, if you will. I'm just going to leave it at that, because it's just going to go to really weird places.
Yeah, it could. So what shit are you digging this week?
I'm actually digging the AM2 Con. Some people call it AM Squared, because it's anime.
AM Squared!
Yeah, because it's anime, music, and manga.
Yes.
So get it, the AM Squared.
Yes.
Or the AM2 bit squared. And we are actually one of the sponsors of the event. So it's at the Anaheim Convention Center, June 15th. So you're going to hear us plugging it a bunch. If you want to learn more about the convention, you can visit our website, electricsisterhood.com. There's a beautiful little graphic in our sidebar. Because, frankly, we love the anime. And we love the musics. And we love the mangas.
Yep.
We do. We has a love. You should has a love, too. So if you're in the California area this June, we highly recommend that you check it out.
Check it out.
If you'd like to purchase tickets, you can hit up that link and visit the website, am2con.org. We'll have more information on the site. Ask us questions about it on Facebook. It's good times, peoples.
AM2s, I have hearts for yous.
Has hearts for yous. What shit are you digging this week, Panda?
So yes, I've been watching a show on Crunchyroll, and it's called Inu X Boku SS. Secret Service. And it really...
Just don't hugs, get away. Yep. It hugs you and holds you.
Hugs me in ways that I'm not hugged in real life.
Aw, do you want a hug?
No, it's okay.
I'll hug you after we finish.
Okay.
As always, I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm about to give this bitch a hug.
Yay, hugs!
Come here, bring it in.
I give you a hug.